Pushkin.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024, JPMorgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
It's a Saturday morning at the Old Globe. I'm here to meet Declan.
I am a little nervous, but I'm generally feeling good.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to get the nerves to go away in a second. Declan's 15, and he had a late night. There was a school dance.
I didn't do much dancing, per se. I mean, I hope this isn't too controversial, but I'm not really a big fan of most of the music that they play at high school dances nowadays. And, like, it's always the same things. Like, could they at least not play different bad music this time, I wonder?
I know Declan because he spent the summer enrolled in a program that the Old Globe runs for teens who want to learn about acting, theater, and specifically Shakespeare. Declan loves Shakespeare. I mean, loves him.
So, I had my first encounter with Shakespeare, or my first Shakespeareans, if you will, that I can remember when I was 12.
That Shakespeareans was when Declan performed in a student production of The Winter's Tale, one of Shakespeare's last and most moving plays.
So, I played Autolycus.
Autolycus is the comic lead. He's this small-time thief who wears disguises and runs schemes and even sings a little.
And so we had the 2 weeks to kind of schlock together a play and with language that I had never encountered. And that was really fascinating, quite difficult, but I really enjoyed it. And Autolycus was like a very fun character, and it came to the performance and we were outside and I was hot and sweaty and bellowing out lines that I had no idea if the audience could understand. And I loved it. So that was my first encounter with Shakespeare, yeah.
How would you characterize what excited you about it when you were playing Autolycus?
Shakespeare is just very unique, and like I can't really draw a comparison between working on his works and the works of any other writer or genre or anything. So I may not even really have the words to describe working on Shakespeare, and that might be what I love about it.
Declan protests too much. He really does have the words to describe it.
It also connects to more largely what excites me in life and what I want to do with my life, which is theater, creativity. But also, like, Shakespeare is inescapable. You find it literally etched at the foots of statues. You see it quoted at weddings. You see it on stages everywhere. Pretty much every respectable theater is, like, performing at least one Shakespeare play a season.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say that it's just a big thing for me. I mean, it's a big thing for everyone. It has to be. You can't escape it, and who would want to?
How does it make you feel when you have a private moment, sitting alone in your bedroom, sitting outside in a garden, leafing through some sonnet or something like that? What happens to you?
I mean, it depends. There are certainly a lot of passages that, you know, kind of, I mean, they all kind of fill me with awe, but there are different strains of awe. I mean, sometimes it's comedy, but even those, it's just so impressive. And often, even when it seems like a glib joke, it's usually saying something quite deep.
Different strains of awe. I love that. When I hear Declan, at the ripe age of 15, talk about Shakespeare like that, I remember a line from The Merchant of Venice. I never knew so young a body with so old a head. But Declan's not the only teen with a deep connection to Shakespeare. There's something about this writer that speaks really powerfully, magically even, to young people. I'm Barry Edelstein, and I run the Old Globe in San Diego, one of the country's leading Shakespeare theaters. And this is Where There's a Will, Finding Shakespeare, from The Globe and Pushkin Industries. Our show discovers Shakespeare in all sorts of unexpected places and asks what he's doing there and what his presence means about him and about us. My companion on this search for Old William is a friend and colleague with their own deep interest in Shakespeare, a writer and director who works on stage, screen, and TV, M. Weinstein. Hi, Em.
Hi, Barry. It's so fun listening to Declan.
He's an amazing guy. I was about his age when I first discovered Shakespeare, but I was way, way less articulate about why I loved the stuff.
Well, I'm not sure I'm ready to believe that, Barry, but yes, Declan is remarkable. Though I must say, I'm not entirely surprised. I've done a lot of work on Shakespeare with young people, and the way they deal with him kind of blows me away, always.
I couldn't agree more, because the work The Globe does with teens is some of the stuff I love the most. Anyway, it's the stuff that delights me the most. Like, I asked Declan what he thought it was about Shakespeare that moved him so. Just listen to his answer. Can you talk a little bit about what the language of Shakespeare and the text of Shakespeare is doing that engages you and moves you?
Well,
you have some with you?
I have my script from Henry V, actually.
Lay it on me.
And here, can I take a minute to get my ducks in a row?
Yes, sir. Do you have a passage you want to share?
I'm not sure. I've been so busy, I didn't have a terrible amount of time to prepare for this. But I suppose just because I was reading it earlier and thinking about it, the passage that I auditioned with was a monologue from Act 2, Scene 2.
Of Henry V.
Right, of Henry V.
Okay.
When Henry V is essentially chewing out Cambridge, Scroope, and Grey for betraying him.
Right.
And it's just a really... powerful passage that spoke to me. Should I, like, read it?
Yeah, or? Read some of it. If you don't mind.
See you, these English monsters. My lord of Cambridge here, this man and this knight, for a few light crowns, lightly conspired and sworn unto the practices of France to kill us here in Hampton. Oh, thou hast infected the sweetness of friendship. Seem men dutiful? Why, so didst thou. Seem they grave and learned? Why, so didst thou. Come they of noble family? Why, so didst thou. Seem they religious? Why, so didst thou. Arrest them to the answer of the law, and God acquit them of their practices.
Wow. Bravo.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Declan is just great. What a wonderful reading of Henry.
He'll play it for real at some point, I'm sure.
Declan reminds me of so many of the teens I've done Shakespeare with. During the pandemic, I spent 6 weeks working with a group of 23 teenagers to reimagine Romeo and Juliet. I was scheduled to direct the play in person, and then when the world shut down, we pivoted to Zoom, and we made this sort of hybrid theater video digital production. And hearing the show in the mouths of young people in lockdown, isolated from their friends, watching the world crumble around them was truly humbling. They found so much humor in moments I never realized were funny, and they were so angry at the failures of the adults in the play, just as angry as they were with the adults failing them during COVID. I realized that Shakespeare is so powerful for teenagers because adolescence is really when society teaches us to not express that kind of anger, to not speak up, to not express our feelings, to suppress who we are.
And Shakespeare's characters never do that. Like Romeo, he cries out, "I defy you, stars." He just rails at the injustice of the universe.
Exactly. When you're Romeo's age, you don't hold anything in. You say what you feel, even if it's uncomfortable or gnarly or it's difficult to hear. For me, when I was a teen, and for the teens I worked with, Shakespeare's a sort of beautiful remedy. Society wants us to sit down and shut up, but Shakespeare demands the exact opposite.
We think about Shakespeare being forced on teens in school, all dreary and boring in some English class to be suffered through. But Declan, and I think the kids you worked with, have found a way to love him on their own terms. The summer Shakespeare program that Declan was in at the Globe had about 20 other kids in it. They made their own production of Henry V, not just with the Shakespeare text, but with their own writing, too. Some of them composed music, some choreographed dance and movement. It was amazing. We'll hear about it, and we'll hear from some of the remarkable young people in it after a short break.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member, FDIC, copyright 2024. JPMorgan Chase & Co. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
MuseAura is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of MuseAura, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to MuseAura.com, MuseAura.com, to start a new musical journey today.
Sir! Now you're this glove!
Know the glove.
I know the glove's a glove.
I know this, and thus I challenge it.
Those are teenage theater kids working on some Shakespeare in a summer program at the Old Globe.
They're great.
The program's about a month long, and it's a mini theater conservatory. Every day there are acting classes, voice classes, movement, all the training a professional actor would get, but geared for teens. For many summers now, I've been watching amazing young people immerse themselves in Shakespeare in this program. And this year, I wanted to learn a little bit more about what this writing means to them. So I asked three students, Amara, Samantha, and Zach, to keep audio diaries all summer long. We put together a little sound montage of their experiences so that we could follow them from beginning to middle to end.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear it.
You'll hear from Amara first.
So, I'm here to journalize my Shakespeare experience.
Thus comes the English with full power upon us.
My first day there, it was really nice having everyone just like ensembled in the same room and meeting each other. I was like, how are you guys such cool people?
From him, and thus he greets your majesty.
Hello, my name is Samantha del Rio. We are currently on week 2, and we are going to be embarking on Henry V by Shakespeare.
With men of courage and means definite.
So, the cast list came out, and I was a little bit disappointed because I really wanted to play a king, mainly because I wanted to give a king a more feminine power, and also because I wanted to wear a crown.
We were cast this weekend, and I'm happy with my roles. I got King of France. I happen not to be a king. I happen to be a teenage girl. So I'm looking for how to be powerful. I'm looking for how to have this mindset that I don't have on a daily basis. And it has been empowering, honestly. It's just like, Shadi, you can be a king if you really desire.
Nice. All right, that's pretty good. Hold. We're going to do it one more time.
My name is Zach von Baron. I performed my monologue for my first time today. The language is just really thick.
Learning to read Shakespeare is just so different. Yeah, no, not easy at all. I can
On
promise you that.
Thursday, we did iambic pentameter. That wasn't so fun, I'm not gonna lie.
Act 2, scene 1, Henry is Zach.
Once more onto the breach, dear friends, once more.
I've finally gotten my monologue to a place that I'm happy with. But now that I know what everything means, it's really nice to know that I am capable of doing this text.
But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of a tiger.
Oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend, the brightest heaven of invention.
I'm really, really nervous that I'm going to butcher my lines. You know, one shot. I have one shot to make this good.
He will compel and bids you in the bowels of the Lord to deliver up the crown and to take mercy on the poor souls for whom this hungry war opens its vastly jaws to.
Oh my God, you have to go big or go home when it comes to Shakespearean acting. That's what I have learned. The bigger that it's done, the easier it is to understand from an outside perspective.
I get to do a fight scene and stab 5 people with a sword. And the moment itself is just epic. It's a really great play.
For England!
I mean, this whole thing really is vulnerability. You're in front of people, you're reading your lines loud and proud. It's just putting yourself on the front lines and being your character over yourself, really.
Suffolk first died. In York, all haggled over, comes to him where in gore he lay, and steeped.
I mean, it's been so incredibly open and truthful to have like a group of people that are like, you know, honest and loving is just wonderful to me.
The King of France
makes bride of daughter Kate. That English
I like to describe it as a Mentos, when you put Mentos in Coke. Like, me being off stage is when you first put in the Mentos and you see the Coke sizzling, and then poof. You know, when it blows up is me on stage is when I get to release everything, 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 everything.
To the full course of their glory.
That was really wonderful. Those 3 young people are so smart and sharp and also so open and available to each other and to Shakespeare. And just like Declan, they're also so sweet and so funny.
And they're so like professional actors in a million ways. I mean, listening to them struggle their way through iambic pentameter, it's just like being in a rehearsal room at the Old Globe. It can be hard work. And sometimes you just bang your head against it.
It was so great to hear Amara and Samantha grapple with the roles they were cast in. Two young women who really wanted to experience what it feels like to wield power like grown-ups do, and also like men do.
And I'm telling you right now, Em, the next time I direct a Shakespeare play, I'm going to borrow Samantha's image of how doing this stuff is like dropping Mentos in Coke. You have to release everything, everything, everything.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's also very moving. You know, Amara talking about the vulnerability that she found in herself as she explored this work. That's what I love the most, how Shakespeare helped her find an openness in herself.
Yes, and how immersing herself in Shakespeare side by side with a bunch of other kids her age sort of bonded them together. That's Shakespeare making community. These plays, this Shakespeare, they have a special power. They draw people toward each other. And then also, they confer a kind of eloquence. They help make sense of a bewildering world.
Yes, and they can be a way to express the intensely emotional things you feel but don't quite know how to say. When you're young and you're unsure of your own voice, when you feel you're not being heard, it can be so liberating to have this big language, this big energy to put into the world.
And the teens in the Globes program are not the only group of young people who are feeling this sense of voicelessness. I've found another group discovering this kind of liberating self-expression in Shakespeare. They're kids too, and they're even younger than the ones we've just been listening to, autistic children. We'll hear about them and their Shakespeare after a break.
Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Join hosts Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business, and Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and business consultant, on these storytelling journeys of trials, tribulations, and triumphs that hinged on a single event, a split-second decision, or even a stroke of luck. Whether the story is about a warehouse going up in flames or a former partner stealing a whole roster of clients, each episode will showcase the grit, determination, and resourcefulness a small business owner needed to turn a pivotal situation into a springboard for success. Listen to The Unshakeables now and learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase, NA member FDIC, 2024, JPMorgan Chase & Co. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
In the 2000s, the Royal Shakespeare Company, the Great English Theatre, established a residency in America at Ohio State University. One of the actors in the company was Kelly Hunter. She had devised something called the Hunter Heartbeat Method. It connects Shakespeare to autism.
I've heard about the Hunter Heartbeat Method. It's remarkable.
At Ohio State, one of Hunter's students was Robin Post. who later went on to teach at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. She's doing amazing things there, connecting Shakespeare with autistic children through the Hunter Heartbeat Method. Robin spoke to me about her work and also about Kelly Hunter and how her method came to be.
She'd been working in communities that had no access to the arts and had found that there were children she wasn't able to reach, and those children ended up being children on the spectrum. And she created this work in an effort to target the core features of autism and reach those children. So I think she was going into communities in England and expecting the neurotypical. And there was a disconnect. She found children were doing things like stimming, which is a self-soothing mechanism that is physicalized, or they were nonverbal, or were talking rapid fire, or any number of behaviors that children on the spectrum might exhibit. She was finding that she wasn't able to connect with those.
So Hunter had a kind of eureka moment. She found that she could reach these children through one of the most essential features of Shakespeare's language.
Rhythm sort of started to come into play. So like the iambic pentameter.
Iambic pentameter again.
Right. The basic building block of Shakespeare's language.
It's like the time signature of his poetry.
Em, just let me do a quick explanation. So an iamb is a unit of two syllables. The first is unstressed and the second is stressed. Didum. So New York is iambic. Penta means five, meter means count, so iambic pentameter is a five count of iambs, 10 syllables. Didump, 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 didump. And that's the essential rhythm of Shakespeare. The quality of mercy is not strained.
But soft what light through yonder window breaks.
We don't say the lines that way, of course, but that's the basic beat underlying the way Shakespeare builds his writing. So, back to Robin Post.
So we're tapping into the rhythm of the language, we're tapping into our own rhythms, and then we're connecting to the rhythm of everyone in the room. And that alone creates trust immediately.
Kelly Hunter named her approach the heartbeat method because the human heart, like the Shakespearean line, is iambic. Bum, 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 bum.
And so we start all of our workshops and every production with this heartbeat hello, where we literally tap out the rhythm of the heartbeat on our heart with our hands, and we say, hello,
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 for as long as it takes for us to all be in the same space and same heart space together, really.
So do you move from the heartbeat into fragments of Shakespeare text? Is that the bridge that gets built?
What occurs is we have this moment of introduction around the heartbeat, and we're all just tapping at our heartbeats, and we're saying hello, and we're literally saying hello to our own hearts, hello to each other's hearts. And then we do something called throwing the face. And so this incorporates huge expression. And so I might say, we're going to make a happy hello. And so we go around the circle one at a time and do a happy hello and introduce an over-the-top, almost mask-like expression of happiness.
No! No! No!
Yes, guys! Yes! Yes! Yes!
And then once that's introduced, then Caliban is introduced. Caliban is a very angry monster, and an actor will model some of Caliban's text and behavior. Another actor will say, this island's mine.
This island's mine. That's Caliban's cry from the heart.
It is. And Em, let me just take a second to remind our listeners about Caliban and The Tempest. The Tempest is set on a remote island somewhere, and it's ruled by this guy named Prospero. He's a wizard with supernatural powers, and he uses them to force the native population to work for him. There's an airy spirit named Ariel, and there's a half-man, half-fish, as Shakespeare describes him, called Caliban.
Yeah, and there are a lot of political readings of the play which have to do with European colonialism and the oppression of native populations.
And they center on Caliban. He's this fascinating character who's in a way clownish, in a way monstrous, and in a way deeply childlike, totally sympathetic. I asked Robin Post what Caliban is doing in the middle of the Hunter heartbeat method.
There's a sense of Caliban being trapped in his own body and trapped on an island and not able to express himself in the way that he wants to, maybe. And so there is a real relationship between what it might feel like to be on the spectrum and be Caliban. And we've actually had a recent production wherein a child told her mother for the first time, "I understand why Caliban is so sad. I have trouble." I'm getting emotional. "I have trouble communicating. I have trouble speaking. I understand why he's so frustrated." And this child's mother said, that's the first time she shared with me that feeling and that experience that she's had.
Shakespeare helps these children express themselves. That's what we heard from the teens earlier.
It's the same phenomenon, but these kids are much, much younger, as young as 5, 6 years old. So I wondered if Robin had any thoughts about the special nature of Shakespeare that makes this connection possible for children that small.
The largesse of the characters and the emotional life that is so big and immediate, and the expression that is so, like, you know, larger than life, is easily accessible. There is often I can't recognize happiness, anger, sadness, etc. And not only don't I recognize it, I can't express it. And so Shakespeare makes that very easy.
Shakespeare makes it so easy that sometimes his language becomes literally the one these children start to speak.
Many of these children in past working with them will see us out somewhere in the world and will talk through Shakespeare to us. So in other words, rather than, you know, saying, "Hello, how are you?" they'll use some Shakespeare text to connect.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's been, you know, just amazing to see them on the playground somewhere randomly or out in a park. And, you know, I go, "I'll miss you so," or something, you know, happens. And you're like, "Whoa, what?"
Extraordinary.
A 6-year-old autistic kid using Shakespeare to express themselves when they previously couldn't is so moving. It's beautiful.
It is. I find the whole idea of children and teens making connections with Shakespeare to be really special, Em. Maybe that's because this material just means so much to me, or maybe it's because I was hit by its lightning when I was their age. But, you know, I think there's something else, too. This generation of kids is bombarded with content. Words, music, images, memes, tweets, Snapchats, TikToks. It's fast, it's short, and it's ephemeral. Gone in a second. Shakespeare is the opposite of all those things. Shakespeare moves more slowly, takes more time, and it's eternal. It's been around for centuries, and it's going to stay around for many more.
I agree with you, Barry. In Robin Post and Kelly Hunter's experiences with young autistic kids, and in the voices of the teens we heard earlier, and in my experience working with teens over the years, the connection with Shakespeare is deep, profound. Time moves slower with Shakespeare, you're right, and it allows the material to go somewhere very deep in these young people, deeper than any other media they encounter might go.
Deeper than did ever plummet sound, as Shakespeare puts it. These young people are really inspiring. They're making Shakespeare theirs, finding themselves in him and his stories. I'm so excited to see where they take him. I'm excited to see what Declan does with his Shakespeare. Em, do you mind if we check in again with him?
Oh, yes, please. More Declan.
So I thanked him for taking some time to talk with me. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I mean, I've been in Barry Edelstein's office. That's amazing. You're very kind to say so. You'll be in here many more times in the future, I promise. And one day it's going to be your office, Declan. What do you think of that?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, we'll see.
I can't wait to see.
Me neither. Where There's a Will, Finding Shakespeare is written and hosted by me, Barry Edelstein. My co-host is M. Weinstein. Our show is produced by Buffy Gorilla and Nisha Venkat, with assistant producers Jennifer Sanchez and Salman Ahad Khan. Our executive producers are Catherine Girardot from Pushkin and Alex Lewis and John Myers from Rohome Productions. Our editor is Audrey Dilling. Our mix engineer is Justin Berger. Our theme is an original composition by Hannes Brown. Samia Bouzid is our fact checker. Vicky Merrick is our voice coach. Our show was recorded at Bill Corkery Productions, Leopard Studio, and The Old Globe. Where There's a Will is a co-production of Pushkin Industries and The Old Globe. Thanks to Pushkin's development team, Lital Mulad and Justine Lang. Barry Edelstein, that's me, is Erna Finzi-Viterbi Artistic Director, and Timothy J. Shields is Audrey S. Geisel Managing Director of The Old Globe. For The Globe, thanks to sound director Paul Peterson and assistant to the sound director Evan Eason, director of marketing and communications Dave Henson, assistant to the artistic and managing directors Carolyn Budd. The Theodore and Audrey Geisel Fund provides leadership support for The Old Globe's year-round activities. To learn more about the Tony Award-winning The Old Globe, one of America's leading regional theater companies, visit theoldglobe.org. If you love this show, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus, offering bonus content and ad-free listening across our network for $4.99 a month. Find the Pushkin Plus channel on Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Where There's a Will, we'll be back January 5th. Thanks for listening.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.